Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact this show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact this show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, black-on-black homicide. Is black-on-black homicide indicative of black people's hatred of self, disconnection from black people as a group. They say reasons for homicides are respect, women, children, turf, revenge, greed, jealousy, money, power, and more. For the record, it is wrong, no, evil, to prosper from the suffering, deterioration, and tyranny of mankind. The scriptures say in Proverbs 22:6, got this out of the King James Version, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Unfortunately, some of us did not adhere or get this message of teaching a child what is right, what is wrong, morals, ethics, to value life, how to live, what is the responsibility of a man or mankind. Ignorance is no excuse for this madness. I could be all day citing examples of the madness, but I'm just going to give you a few is of the craziness from NBC. Caught on cam, gunmen target 70-plus shots at teens in just seconds in West Philadelphia. The shooting took place Monday afternoon along the 1500 block of North Fraser Street in West Philadelphia and left three teens injured. 70 shots, three teens injured. From head topics, Philadelphia police released video of basketball court shooting. 60 shots fired. Philadelphia police are searching for several suspects after over 60 shots were fired on a basketball court. According to police, the shots were fired around 10:15 p.m. that night at the West Mill Creek Playground in West Philadelphia. Police say several people were armed and at least three fired guns. From NBC, as if that wasn't enough, 100 shots fired, 5 hurt in shooting near Philadelphia Rec Center, August 16, 2022. 2 young men were shot in the head and 3 others were hurt in gunfire that broke out Tuesday night near Shepherd Recreation Center in West Philadelphia. That's just West Philly. I ain't even talk about North Philly. I ain't even mention them. South Philly, Germantown. That's just West Philly. And that's not everything that's going down, but so did some black people learn that their life wasn't valuable during their captivity? We had that conversation and subjugation to antebellum America. Did they learn that black life wasn't valuable? You know, did they internalize that? Because we know it wasn't valuable to folks, you know, in this country, white folks. You know, our life wasn't valuable. It's just as valuable as it was to them, how much they paid for you and how much, you know, you were able to earn them, right? So, what about Jim Crow? Did it teach us that we weren't valuable and we what segregation? What about all the disenfranchisement, the discrimination, injustices, and hatred in this country? Did it kind of like seep in some kind of way through a crack of our psyche? Some of our psyches, because not everyone is subscribed to this ideology. Self-hatred and you know, just being ready to kill, you know, one that looks like you, you know, at the drop of a dime. And it's the reason why, you know, that happens. Other reasons that contribute to that. But just the fact that it's, it, you know, it just seems so easy. 60 shots, you really want somebody dead, you firing 60 shots. Has this self-hating ideology been internalized by some subliminally and maybe consciously? And maybe y'all are just walking around just feeling like, you know, our life ain't worth a wood nickel. In the spirit of it takes a village to raise a child, some of us have lost or abandoned our protective capacity. Maybe some have never had a protective capacity. Now, we need to be protected from ourselves, our own brothers and sisters, our own children. Had a group of kids murder an elderly man in North Philadelphia. All he asked was, why are you out? What are you doing out here this late at night? The rapper, ex-gang member of Nipsey Hussle, kind of explained it on gang banging and some of the shooting you see in the community. Some communities, he said, when gang banging, you're looking for your enemy. You look for a dude who is dressed and behaves like you. I'm just paraphrasing what he said. You go by the dude from another race. You go by him. You ain't messing with him. You ain't looking for him. Oh, that's Chinese dude. We ain't in it. You go by him. The guy not dressed like you. And when you see a guy that looks like you, you try to down him in a bad way. So they're looking for themselves and hating themselves, right? So they're going out to kill a mirror image of them on the so-called other side or whatever line tracks that they created, right? He said, all homies have to offer is their heart to be accepted and respected by the gang, right? So if you don't have, you broke, you poor, you feel like you have low self-esteem, show that you got heart to F another brother up and you get respect and you get the camaraderie and the friendship of the gang. You get the, that is one way black youth learn to hate themselves, right? Ignoring or being ignorant of the struggle of the black man against the tyranny of white supremacy, creating their own jeopardy, tyranny, and disproportionately contributing to their own untimely demise. The violence and rebelliousness associated with gang life, street life, has been made to appear attractive. Some females prefer bad boys until that bad boy is bad for them. Some people just join gangs for protection, but it is difficult to be protected when you are playing a game of life and death with a target on your back, right? Gang-related homicides and assaults bear witness to that, right? So, joining a gang automatically makes you an enemy and target of rival gangs. Joining means you hate the enemy of the gang who, as Nipsey Hussle says, looks just like you. This is not to advocate or sanction gang warfare between other ethnic groups, because we only have a conversation about black on black homicide, right? And gang warfare is one way that contributes to that, right? Ethnically speaking, it is the equivalent of self-mutilation or ethnocide, be it cliques, gangs, or families, or individuals. We are losing soldiers to an internal war that does not represent or serve our best interests. Why do we volunteer to hate, destroy one another? King Von, that's his cargo rapper and gangbanger. He's a millionaire. He's probably a multimillionaire or something because he's successful in the rap business, right? He stated, it never ends unless you go to jail or are murdered. You know, I think it might say something. You're lucky if you're able to step away from it. Well, you know, anyway, with all his success, he was murdered in a street fight in Atlanta. They say he already blew up. He's going to blow up some more. But from CNN, gun violence has killed at least one rapper every year since 2018. A friend of mine brought that to my attention a while ago. He asked me to do a show on those rappers getting killed. And look, it's 2018, one a year since 2018. I think three of them got killed last year. Let me see. A couple of them got killed. Within the last couple of months, I know a couple of rappers got killed. So, unemployment of they say unemployment is a conduit of black self-hate, is black male aggression directed at racial peers. So, that's the equivalent of you being frustrated and angry and you taking it on whoever's around you. It's like coming home, beating up on your family, you know, beating your wife, you know, things like that. So this happening on the street, right? So you can't, you have this large unemployment, what I call failure to thrive, and you're angry, frustrated. You might feel, you know, like, you know, you're somebody, but you have no way of doing that through these systems that are supposed to be created for you to show that you're somebody in the social economic world. So maybe you find other ways to show that, right? Consumed by poverty and most importantly, unemployment, black males have internalized norms via legacy of the antebellum that embrace violence. The antebellum, I don't know if y'all know about the antebellum South, United States after the Civil War, it's antebellum after the war. That's what that means. And in this respect, we're talking about the Civil War. This is very, 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 it was very violent here for a black man anyway. When it's for somebody to enslave you, rape you, your kid, your wife, your mother, and all that stuff, it cut you up, you know, beat you halfway to death, kill you, hang you. That's very violent. But it was very violent antebellum too. So I guess the violence continued. So I guess that's what that is, you know. Anyway, they said it was very violent, period. That they feel this author's saying that black males internalize the norms via the legacy of antebellum that embrace violence, because this is violence before antebellum. Make no mistake about it, right? So pathologizing influence of self-hate and to approaches emphasizing homicide to the exclusion of others, they said. Their ability to obtain gainful employment can serve as a powerful alternative to pathologizing influence of self-hate, right? So success, people who are successful are less likely to engage in violence, right? And we'll get into that later on, because sometimes success is founded on violence, as we know, right? But we're talking about just me and you, you know, people in the neighborhood and things like that, you know. And we know, history has told us that a lot of things were created by violent success, you know, the China, all that stuff, you know, United States of America, that's all has a violent beginning, very end of. Violent history, period. So we ain't gonna get into that. That's another show, right? Anyway, but basically, a successful man is less likely to kill. Like King Bond is an exception, because he came out of the streets, and I guess he couldn't leave the street stuff, that street mentality alone, because he was in Atlanta when he got killed, and that brother could have really done something
and represented for you know, youth in Chicago that, you know, you can change your life and be cut down. And that's what I mean by our soldiers are dying, because guys that who can have influence, a positive influence, are being cut down before they can do these things. And I'm not saying whose fault it was, if it's his fault, the guy's fault, it's not, even the point. The point is that it's happening. And we have to find a way, individuals, as individuals, groups, to prevent this, right? It's, who was there to, in King Bond's case, who was there to kind of like check him, you know, before he went out, you know, before that thing happened, you know, who was there, you know, to have his back, not back with the gun, back as in the decision making, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes we need that person in our ears, like, you know, don't do that. You know, I'm sure everybody's got a friend like that that says, don't do it. You know, no matter, even if they understand why you might want to do it, they will tell you, don't. Right? That kind of thing. You know, that kind of support. We know we all done the support the other way. We all been there. It's the wrong way. It just makes it worse. Right? So they said, to reverse the trends, successful blacks must be willing to mentor those less fortunate by being personally or actively involved. That's what I mean by King Von could have been that. You know what I'm saying? He's a gangbanger. He is definitely a gangbanger. And he could have helped people turn their life around. Their existence as role models can help decrease self-hate until such time as mentees become permanently and gainfully employed. So you have success. You have more to lose. You don't have success. You don't have anything. All you have is what you're going to rob that week, what you're going to take for somebody. If that's all you have, you don't really see. You might not really see you having that much to lose. But if you have a job, gainful employment, you have a nice little house. You might not be living in a mansion, but you're living in something. Got your little furniture in there, your flat screen TV, you know what I'm saying, your honey. So you might not want to readily lose that, right? Hopefully. You know, that keeps a lot of, that helps people make different decisions, because being successful, right? Being successful in a positive way, right? So I explained to you what the antebellum was. Pathologizing is a practice of seeing a symptom as indication of a disease or disorder, a mental health. In mental health, the term is often used to indicate overdiagnosis or refusal to accept certain behavior as normal, right? So, homicide is a symptom of the black man's inability to access resources necessary to his basic survival and improve his quality of life. That is a symptom of a diseased social political system that perpetuates the enslavement and impoverished state of, in this case, the black man. It is a reaction to the condition of social economic deprivation. Unfortunately, homicides perpetuate more homicides as the fear of being murdered increases, revenge of a murdered loved one or associate, and even worse, as the culture of extreme violence become a method of dealing with conflict. For these reasons, these feuds are difficult to resolve, right? That's very difficult, because this thing's just every reaction they have, the reaction to that reaction is the same thing that's causing the problem. So, you know, so you kill one of them, they kill one or two of you, they kill two of you, you try to kill more, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. And then in some cases, this thing spreads over the country, like the Crips and the Bloods thing. That war was an L.A. war that spread all over the United States. It is not to say that the poor and deprived have a monopoly on homicide. Not at all suggesting that. Homicide or killing or murdering has been used to resolve conflict since Cain and Abel. Right now, anybody know about Cain and Abel? That's supposed to be Adam and Eve's son. Adam and Eve, first man, first woman in the Bible. We see in Genesis. Now, he had two kids, Cain and Abel. They both gave offerings to God, and Cain killed Abel, right? That's how that happened. So that's the story, right? So did black men learn to be ultra-violent from the cruel and brutal slave masters, the slave catchers, and the slave traders, or their descendants? Did they learn that? Because the people, everything they were seeing that had power was cruel and brutal and violent. Did they learn to perceive power as violence? Violence as a method of perpetuating, maintaining, and achieving power throughout generations of their captivity, their existence? Did they learn that through the generations, that if you want to be powerful, you have to be ultra-violent? Because there was a culture of people who were being ultra-violent towards them. To quote the poet Noor, that being said, maybe violence is the most available form of power, resources. You don't have to be educated to use it, or you can be. You don't have to be wealthy to access it, and it is always at your disposal. In fact, it is just a decision away from being utilized, an emotion away from being activated, an insult or violation from being accessed. The question is, how did it become a way of life for some and not for others? I guess the assumption is that black people perceive themselves as a people, are unified to some degree as a people, share culture, morals, and ethics as a people, that black people have suffered under the tyranny of slavery, Jim Crow, the U.S. government, and citizens, that there should be some resemblance of unity, some common cause that would supersede the predatory behavior that plagues the black community. It seems that there are not enough of us of that opinion. Be it the beast of poverty, congestion, inadequate housing, lack of resources to sustain, perpetuate, and maintain and improve the quality of life, some, many, lack the moral and ethical fortitude foundation to positively defend themselves against the demons that seek to destroy them internally, emotionally, psychologically, socially, physically, and spiritually. It is like my friend says, we can't get out of our own way. It's true. Violence begets more violence. And the question is, how do we get off bloody hamster wheel? Seems like the American dream is our nightmare. From OJP.gov. Black-on-black homicide, a psychological, political perspective. They said the black homicide rate are 7 to 8 times those of whites. Blacks have a rate of probably only 4 to 5 times that are whites. Homicide is the leading cause of death among young black men. In about 80 to 90% of the cases, the black victim was killed by another black. And about 52% of the murder victims were acquainted with their assailant. Just as we accept suicide victims are psychologically impaired, we must acknowledge that a murderer is similarly impaired. Projected self-hatred facilitates blind rage and gives the perpetrator of the violent attack a sense of legitimacy and justification. right? Another thing that does that is revenge. Or feeling violated or betrayed. So, in addition, blacks have been indoctrinated by a criminal justice system which places higher value on white life than on black life. They say while a psychological study of homicide offenders and victims is difficult and not easily quantifiable, it is important to explore such variables in the black community on violence. We're not waiting for studies and people, scientists to do these studies that they do to tell us what's wrong with us. So I hope that's not the case. Because if you're waiting for that, you lost your mind. Solution, they said. Programs focus on crime and violence prevention. Therefore, must do more than alleviate social economic ills in the black community. They must pay attention as well to the negative psychological dynamics in the black experience that contribute to internecine victimization, right? So, they said the black community in particular is in need of homicide prevention centers with programs of prevention, research, and treatment, right? You could argue that not all black people are murderers, and you would be right. This disease, like many diseases, does not infect everyone, but many are impacted by its infection or the possibility of infection, right? So this is from Provocative Sort. It's not from the author. Enough have been infected to infect people with fear, anxiety, anger, and stress, not to mention grief, right? It will take a village to save, resurrect black people from the indoctrination of violence perpetrated in the black community. Blame it on whatever you want. Call it whatever you want. It is past time to do something about it, person by person, family by family, block by block, community, section, city, state, country. If the Bloods and the Crips can spread their anti-life ideology north, south, east, and west, we can spread a pro-life ideology, imagine, that promotes life, respect, honor, discipline, education, morals, ethics, and dogmas that nurtures and strengthens and empowers people from the inside. Imagine the Crips and Blood had spread that. We have a call already. Hello. Welcome to Provocative Thought, 6469. Hello. Did you want to speak? 6469? Okay, call is dropped. My bad. Okay, remember, press the number one only if you want to speak. Okay, so as I said, imagine a gang that promotes life, respect, honor, discipline, education, morals, ethics, and dogmas that nurtures, strengthens, and empowers people from the inside, that place the value of life where it should be, on life, quality of life. Many minds, same objective, improve the quality of life of black people. From psychnet.apa.org, black on black homicide, another one about the psychological, political perspective. They said that black homicide rates are 7 to 8 times those of white, and about, that was the same thing. I'm going to go to this one. Blacks, for both environmental and political reasons, are likely to reflect emotional or predispositions that allow them to more readily become a homicide statistic. Projected self-hatred facilitates blind rage and gives the perpetrator of the violent attack a sense of legitimacy and justification, right? That's, they basically said the same thing as other guys. I just want to get through. The people are saying the same thing. The Guardian, the killing of black women, five findings from an investigation, right? This is from The Guardian with an article about black women, because we have, one of the topics of the conversations amongst people that I talk to is how women and children are now being, you know, included in the headlines. It's like, you know, what's going on? Right? They used to at least get a pass, basically. And I'm not saying women and children have not been killed in the past, but now we seem to be hearing about that a lot. In 2020, they said there was an increase in the death rate of black women. The increase in the death of black women rivaled that of black men. That's not a good look. It said homicides increased nearly 30% nationwide. For the rate for black women and girls rose 33%. A sharper increase than for every demographic except black men. So next to, after black men comes black women. So, you know, I did a show on disease and a lot of diseases, they had black people at the helm of them in terms of being suffering from them. It was crazy. So we at the helm of this homicide thing. If we're gonna be in a race, this is not the type of race we want to be in. We don't want to be at first the most dying. That is not where you want to be. Killing of black women and girls increased across age groups, from school age children to senior citizens. Nobody's safe, right? Gun violence drove the increase, with three quarters of homicide victims who were black women and girls dying from gunshot wounds. What's going on? I saw a video where these guys waited for this guy to get in the car. He had two children in the car with him. They waited till he got in the car, closed the door, went over there and shot everybody in the car. Everybody. He had like a 9-year-old in there and a 12-year-old. There was a time when women and children were off limits for the most part. There was a time when there was a boundary, a limit, a place where you didn't go. That designation appears to be non-existent now. Women and children have been victims of violence in the black community, but now they appear to be par for the course. Be them a target, with a target, in the area of a target, or in the comfort of their home. This monster devours its own. Too often, we hear about women and children falling victim to the violence that has besieged us. That a solution eludes us, or have we been elusive to the solution? Which is it? Or what is it? You know, because I've been scratching my head about this thing for a long time. From listhnet.org. It said, forget about drugs, gang initiation rituals, and criminal activity as causes of so-called black-on-black homicide. It's becoming clearer and clearer that much of this killing is over women. So now we are to blame the black woman for the death of young black men? That's a question. Yet it is clear to police nationwide that sexual improprieties are the root cause of young men killing each other. These guys killing each other because he messed with my girl. It said because of the high incarceration rate in the hood, many relationships are insecure at best. And of course, women also alone seek out friendship of other males or females when their boyfriends go to jail. So they said his buddies inform on her behavior and retaliation is in order. When I get out, you know, I'm going to see him. I'm going to send that, you know, when I get out, right? The consequent violence is done out of passion and ego damage, right? Because it's embarrassing, you know, for a man of somebody to and be engaged intimately with his woman. That's a hurt piece on emotional and the ego thing, right? So we got to learn how to deal with that and look at that a whole new different way, right? In many cases, the wounded male was never right and more often was wrong and abusive. So he shot himself in the foot, and the female was only getting a little revenge when she started having sex with his best friend. After all, he had had a sexual relationship with her girlfriend. Now, everybody know that's twisted, right? Two wrongs don't make a right, right? So that, I don't know. That doesn't even sound right there. So this scenario is a bit flawed. Two wrongs don't make a right. Know that hurt people, and if the incarcerated boyfriend is in the business of hurting people, it doesn't take a genius to figure out or suspect that if he is hurt emotionally or social emotionally, he will act out violently. Choose your friends wisely and your boyfriend's even wiser, right? That old thing about sticks and stones neglects to include emotional pain and social embarrassment. Maybe the idea is with emotional pain, at least you aren't physically injured or scared, and you can recover emotionally better than you can physically. Ask anyone, would you rather be hurt physically or emotional? Many would choose emotionally. I found out to be wrong because I had a survey, and everybody, I think I got three people, maybe two, that said physically, and the majority said they'd rather be hurt physically because you can get over the physical harm, but not the emotional. But when you started including degrees of physical harm, some people changed their mind in terms of which they'd rather be hurt emotionally or physically. Anyway, a physical injury may include and or result in an emotional injury. But an emotional injury doesn't include a physical injury. So I don't know about that. I took that survey. But depends on what group, you know, like as most surveys, depending on who you talk to. I might have talked to another group of people that might have said emotional than physical. But the survey I took said physical. They'd rather be hurt physical than emotionally, right? Personally, you can hurt my feelings all you want. Don't hurt me. Don't bust me in the head with nothing. Don't shoot me. Don't stab me. That hurts. I've been broke up and I've been poked but not stabbed. But it's not nice. Anyway, I would suggest that we respect the feelings of others just as we should respect the pain you can cause someone physically. But that would take integrity. Right? Integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. I keep coming back to morals and ethics and that we actually value and try to adhere to. You know, we need that. You know, it's like playing a basketball game, but you don't have no rules. You ain't out. You can double dribble. You can walk with the ball. You know, I can push. You know, all the, you got to be some rules to the game that help you be able to play the game safely, right? So same thing for life, right? From ZuccaloPublicSquare.org. They said homicide rate among black men in the United States has long captured national headline. But despite decades of black feminist scholarship and organizing on the topic, violence against black women and girls continue to receive little attention. You know, but that's two things. How come only black making the headlines? That's very interesting right there. So the heightened vulnerability of black women to violence should be seen and addressed as a crisis alongside the already recognized epidemic of black male homicide. Now, the violence that impacts on women and children have always been more alarming, probably because we are somehow used to hearing about men being murdered. As previously stated, there was a time when women and children were off limits. It is evident that those times, those moments have become rare. Those non-combatants often fall victim to violence. It is a testimony to our sickness and disease state. They go on to say, community violence prevention typically focuses on black men and boys who face the highest risk of being killed. Well, if you can get them to stop, then maybe that would save some women and children, right? And domestic violence advocacy is most often shaped by the experience of white women, researchers say. This creates a vacuum of solutions tailored to the unique way that black women and girls are vulnerable to violence, right? So they go on to say the National March Against Black Female Femicide is being planned for the late August, right? They're having a march because they want to bring attention to that. So we are quite aware of this, these things about black women and children being murdered and the elderly being murdered in the black community. You know, but we got to get this problem at the root. Right? You're trying to grab the bull by the horns. I don't know. Sometimes you got to grab the bull by the horns, but you want to get things in, you know, in its beginning. So they said for nearly a half of the killings of black women and girls in 2020, reports of the relationship between the victim and the person who killed her as unknown, right? Developer data indicates that, like most American women, black women are often killed by someone they know. Nearly a third of black women and girls in 2020 were known to be killed by an intimate partner or family member. Another 16% were killed by a friend, neighbor, or acquaintance. That's a lot of homicide, a lot of killing going on. And it's doesn't matter. Gender is not even you don't even get it passed based on your gender or your age, really. That's just talking about females, right? So they go on to say when you kill a black woman, oftentimes you kill a cornerstone of the community because there are a lot of people tied to her, right? So homicide of black women and girls doubled in Wisconsin and Ohio, rising from 21 to 42 in Wisconsin and from 57 to 110 in Ohio. What's going on in Ohio? Anyway, what is driving the homicide rate of black people? It appears we live and die in a violent homicidal culture. What's going on? From earthtownresearch.org. What is the problem? They say black Americans are disproportionately impacted by gun violence. They experience 10 times the gun homicide, 18 times the gun assault injuries, and nearly 3 times the fatal police shootings of white Americans, right? Gun homicides, assaults, and police shootings are disproportionately prevalent in historically underfunded neighborhoods and cities. These lack of funding intensifies our country's longstanding racial inequalities, right? So if you're not equal, usually things you don't really care that much about not equal to you if your country is seeing you as treating you unequal, right? Unequal, right? You hit just inequalities, then probably the people who represent government, stages of government are viewed that way too. Right? So anyway, each day, on average, 30 black Americans are killed by guns and more than 110 experience non-fatal injuries. Each day, on average, 30 black Americans are killed by guns and more than 110 experience non-fatal injuries each day. That's a war. At least every other day, a black person is shot and killed by police. These trends worsen in large cities where black Americans make up 68% of the homicide victims. All right? Gun violence further are clusters in specific social networks and neighborhood subsections. That's like the hood, right? I said street outreach programs such as Cure Violence are associated with up to 37% reductions in gun injuries. Black people in America are nearly three times as likely to be shot and killed by police than white Americans, right? So these people are saying that it looks like black life is not even valued. So do people internalize that some kind of way subliminally that if they don't value us, we are not valued? Do some people kind of like internalize that way? That I said, when it comes to violent crime, especially murder, Americans are at much greater risk of falling victim to someone they know. Americans, right? We live in a violent culture, right? Perhaps someone they know intimately, and these kinds of murders are less likely to murderers are less likely to commit their crimes with guns. So somebody likes you, or you get choked, and you know, this close stuff. They say it's good chance somebody likes you, right? I said a homicide detective once said, familiarity, right, breeds attempt. The fact is most victims and their killers are at least passively familiar with each other. Intimates interact often, and those interactions often lead to disputes and disagreements. Those disputes and disagreements can lead to violence. People who don't see another way to resolve these disagreements often have a dispute resolution mechanism, such as a gun, a knife, or a blunt object handy, right? Typically, criminologists categorize victim-offender relationships as strangers, individuals who don't know each other, and acquaintances. Individuals who are familiar with each other, have met or are aware of each other, but are not close. And intimates, family, lovers, and the like, right? There's three categories, right? Most victims of property crime, burglary, larceny, theft, motor vehicle theft are strangers, right? Homicide, which is defined by the FBI as the willful, non-negligent killing of a human being by another, right? Negligent means you did something stupid or you forgot something and it caused somebody's life, right? That's negligence, right? Didn't put on the brakes on the car, rolled down the hill, ran into a person standing on the corner, right? That kind of thing, right? That's negligence. They say that this definition hides the emotion and will that need to be generated to shoot, stab, choke, or beat an intimate to death, right? So the willful killing of one human being by another. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that, but I think when you get mad enough, you can kill somebody. Or you can get mad at a person you don't know. You can get mad at the person you know. You know what I'm saying? So in some of these situations are willful because you don't even know the person. You're just killing them, I guess, because you don't want to go to jail. See, they get that thing going on. Guys kill people because they don't want to go to jail. Or you might kill a guy because he got on a different color from a different clique, a different gang. Or, you know, you got beef with them and you don't really know them. You're just killing them because disrespect. I don't know. But I think... if it's done without emotion, then you might be talking about a psychopath or something like that. But I get what he's saying. I'm going to move on. Motives for violent crime are generally broken into two categories, instrumental and expressive, right? Instrumental moments are ascribed to events that are designed to produce a material advantage for the offender. There you go. Robbery, such as the killing of a store owner for the cash and the till, is the perfect example of this. Might be other reasons why people kill everyone in robberies, but there you go, right? Says, God give you the money, you really had no reason to kill him. That's why it's called a robbery. Now, it's a homicide and a robbery if you kill him, which It's another one of those things that baffles me. If you take money for somebody, you're robbing them. Why are you killing them? Expressive violence is different. It is designed to make a statement or communicate a strong emotion like love, hate, or resentment. Domestic homicides in which one intimate partner kills another are a prototypical form of expressive homicide. Instrumental violence typically occurs between strangers and involves the use of only enough force or violence to get the job done, right? In instances of expressive violence where individuals know each other, emotions run high, and the nature and level of violence is often exaggerated more than is necessary to get the job done. In these cases, the violence makes a statement that reflects the large emotional overlap between the victim and offenders, right? We've had a situation where a young man stabbed his baby's mama, I don't know how many times. It seemed like mostly in the head, left the knife in the head, right? And you know, was he a monster or was he just a monster at that time? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, this guy is somebody people know. He's a friend of people. He's a son. You know, he's an uncle. You know, and look what happened. Something happened, and this guy flipped and killed his baby mom. When it comes to violent crime, especially murder, Americans are at much greater risk of falling victim to someone they know, perhaps someone they know intimately. Okay, so we want to know why all this crime is happening in the black community. A majority of homicides involve offenders and victims who share a large number of characteristics. The most typical homicide involves a victim and offender who are similar in age, race, ethnicity, gender, and prior involvement in the criminal justice system. All right? That's like gangbanging, right? They also typically have other background characteristics in common. Education, attainment, employment history, poverty level, a familiarity with that breeds contempt. It's not an emotional familiarity based on association, but a familiar set of background and experiential characteristics, right? Including involvement in crime, gangs, and urban gun culture, right? Is what I said, right? It says it's important to note that firearms are involved in about 2/3 of homicides in the United States. And, you know, we got the right to bear arms, right? That's the Second Amendment, right? That said, murders between intimates are more likely to involve hand-on-hand violence, such as choking, beating, or violence where the perpetrator physically touches the victim. Guns are more likely to be involved between perpetrators and victims who are strangers or who know each other only in passing, like rival gang members. Most homicides also occur within relatively close proximity to the residences of victims and offenders, right? So you get basically killed by somebody close proximity to you and similar to you, right? As Nipsey Hussle said, they're looking for somebody that looks like them. So when the crime is committed at the individual level, individual offenders or victims create motives for their family members or friends to commit reciprocated crime. Many homicides are linked through patterns of revenge from a victim's family or friends who become perpetrators in an effort to obtain justice for their slain family member. I just heard a story about the people met over a guy that was killed, I don't know, 10 years ago, and these people came by and sprayed the gathering at the funeral site and killed the other guy that was shot with the guy that was whose grave site they had went to kill him. When crime is committed at the neighborhood level, more often perpetrated by strangers and acquaintances, right? Fear is spread within the community, breaking down the social structure and impeding the ability of the police to make arrests and solve crime. That's that no snitch rule. That's that I'm not going to snitch because the police can't and won't protect me. So I'm not saying nothing. I'm a mind my business routine, right? And of course, gang culture, don't snitch because we got this, right? There is emerging evidence that the decades-long great crime decline has leveled off and that homicide rates may be increasing. There are the cities with this are characterized by very high levels of concentrated poverty, particularly among the minority residents, right? These places, the cities where this is going on at, this increase homicide rate is, you have these underserved communities, right? Right? We have a lot of failure to thrive, right? Inability or to access resources, rise in homicide rates in these parts of the country are of particular concern because they come at a time when law enforcement resources are stretched thin. Thanks to recession cutbacks, the police make an arrest in about two-thirds of the homicide. This leaves one-third of the homicides unsolved, with offenders free in the community. So you know what that means, right? Unsolved homicides often create their own crime wave as families and associates of victims seek to exact justice on their own, putting the police under still more stress, right? So you got people walking around with a couple of bodies, right? And with no stopping in the future, right? They said understanding the nature and patterns of homicide is key to formulating effective responses. To be successful, such responses must place more responsibility on communities for identifying disputes at an early stage in their development before they turn fatal. If police are the only institution responsible for producing reductions in crime, in this case, some of homicides, right? We are in for a dangerous time, they say. And you're just right, because how the police can't tell when you're going to kill somebody. Everybody's not got a poster, I'm going to kill somebody today. It ain't walking around like that. That happens when it happens. And like I said, the people at the grave site, they weren't expecting anybody to get killed or, shot at. It's an old situation. Years have passed. Went to the grave site, and lo and behold, somebody comes there and kills somebody, right? There's another something like that happened with, I think, another family sought revenge at a boys' club in New York. The guy was, they say he murdered a family member, and years later, these guys killed them. So revenge is often the plot of the story. How do we get there? What happens before we get there? To me, what happens before this dispute? Right? That's real talk. If police are the answer to reducing the homicide rate, we are stating that our neighborhoods are out of control and there is little to nothing we can do about it. Martial law does not quench the desire for revenge or clout chasing. Gaining fame, attention, respect of peers, admiration of peers, fear of peers and community members. These monsters live amongst us. We care for them. We care for these guys, right? We care about them. They're not coming in from who knows where doing this. These guys are, we happy to see, right? Some of us are very happy to see some of these guys, because your mother, that's your son, that's your brother, that's your friend. Even if you're not even about what they into, that's your friend. So they're not something coming out of the woods. That is why we must bring this bloody nightmare to an end by any means necessary, because these people are us. The ones that are murdering and the ones that are being murdered, they are us. Look in the mirror. We must not become them. They must become us or something else. From gunresponsibility.org. They say gun violence in the black community, myths and facts, right? Now they say black people in the United States bear the brunt of the gun violence epidemic. Here are just a few facts to highlight the disproportionate impact gun violence takes on the black community. All right? So they said each on a day, average 30 black, same thing, 30 black Americans killed by guns each day. And more than 110 experience non-fatal injuries. Every day? Do the math, y'all. This is war. Black Americans spend 10 times the gun homicides of white Americans. Black Americans are nearly 3 times more likely to be shot and killed by police as whites. Black Americans experience 18 times the gun assault injuries of white Americans. 68% of black Americans or someone they care for has experienced gun violence. And just about everybody I know, like from hanging back in the day, have experienced gun violence. One way or the other, in front of it or behind it. Fact. I don't think I know nobody that has it. This disparity is the result of centuries of oppression and disinvestment, right? So people who are not invested in your best interests, right? Your social, economic, political interests, right? Gun homicides, assault, and police shootings all occur at a disproportionate rate in historically underfunded communities. We call that the hood, right? The ghetto, the hood. I don't know what else they call it. You know, those two words that I know best describe these areas, right? Impoverished areas, right? This underfunding is the result of past racist policymaking and perpetuates longstanding racial inequity. Same thing the other guy said, right? This is somebody else saying this. And they might have got it from here. The point is, there's a disparity here in this country. And lack of opportunity and resources perpetuate violent dispositions, feelings of inadequacy, anger, distrust, things like that, right? The underlying result of past racist policymaking and perpetuates longstanding racial inequalities, right? Disproportionate rates of gun violence also have been exploited by the gun lobby and other bad actors who have pushed dangerous myths to spread fear and to advance a pro-gun agenda rather than invest in proven solutions like community violence intervention and victim support. Two of these myths are particularly pernicious, right? So I guess they're talking about in terms of as a reaction to the violence, they promote be armed. You need to be armed so you can defend yourself against the violence. So I'm sure they're not talking about there's no place for guns in this society because it's society, guns have saved the life of people in this society, right? So they say myth number one is the black. They say myth black on black crime is a myth, and I'm gonna tell you why they say it. Because it's not to say that there's no black on black crime, because that's what we're talking about tonight, right? But I think not exactly what he means is a myth. It just means it's the way they perpetuated it. It has a different meaning. It may subliminally have a different message, and they're saying that it perpetuates the myth that interracial violence is specific to the black community and that black people are inherently violent, right? Because you're only hearing about black-on-black violence. You don't hear anybody say nothing about white-on-white violence. So maybe they're not worried about white-on-white violence. We are concerned about black-on-black violence, right? A myth that has been used to justify the mistreatment of black people in the United States for centuries. Well, you don't care about yourself. You killing you. Well, so what's the problem if the police officer she's a black man. So that type of thing, right? It's, that's nonsense. That's not even logical. Because bottom line, nobody wants to be murdered. So if we have people, black people murdering each other, that does not mean black people think that murdering each other is okay. That's part of the reason why they murder. Believe it or not, some of the reason why they murder people is because people are murdered. It's not okay to kill my friend, my brother, or my uncle, and I'm going to show you how not it is. So they go out and murder you. Don't have to be with a gun. All right. So people are really afraid of guns because of the degree of lethality that a gun produces. You know what I'm saying? It's harder to subdue a guy with a gun. And especially nowadays, they got 17, 30, 15, all these clips with all these bullets in them. And it's hard to subdue them. A guy with a baseball bat, you can subdue him. A guy with a knife, you can subdue him. Anyway, the suggestion that black people are predisposed to violence dates back to the 1896 when it was included in the first nationwide report on racial crime data. So they saying the white folks who've been the most violent in this country, because we never exterminated nobody here, right, as a people. Right? This country had indigenous people here from coast to coast. Where they at now? So who killed those people? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, smallpox killed them. Where did smallpox come from? Right? And who killed them after that? Right? So, but apparently these people who enslaved people and mass murdered people as they slept in their teepees and things like that, right? This gave black people the label of being predisposed to violence. So, you know, to the victims goes the spoils of war. And one of the spoils of war is you get to write history. So they wrote what they want to write, right? The report did not go unnoticed or challenged, right? Jamila Nasheed points out in his column in response to the report, W.B. Du Bois made 2 points that we're still grappling with more than 120 years later. The different ways in which black and white Americans are treated by our justice system and the relationship between crime and the threat of poverty due to systemic racism. Data shows a clear connection between poverty and violent crime. The United States poverty is extrinsically linked to anti-black racism and white supremacy. So what that means is that it's not by accident that a lot of blacks are impoverished in this country, right? Because centuries of racist policymaking and disinvestment, more black people than white people live in poverty in the United States. But research has shown that black and white people in poverty commit crimes at the same rate, right? All right, we got so poverty is a catalyst for crime, right? I don't have it. And we used to be a saying back in the day, what I can't work and make, I steal and take. I don't even remember who said that. But you understand, and sometimes people, you know, and sometimes people want things that they don't need. They just want it. They can't get it. They can't have it. Don't have enough. So they steal it and sell it to somebody else who wants it, who don't have enough money to buy it, sell it at a low rate. Now they got it. Now you've created your own income. So now that's what makes being a thief profitable, right? That's anything. This is a man for it, right? The thing that you, item that you had, right? Anyway, white people commit crimes against other white people at the same rate as black people do against other black people. Despite the fact no one ever decries the white-on-white crime problem. Well, that's for white people to do that, right? Black-on-black crime is not just inaccurate. It is harmful, they said. Beyond perpetuating an anti-black racism, it is used as a tool to dismiss or distract from calls for justice from the black community. They trying to say we are, you're an animal, right? You kill each other. And then a policeman trying to do his job, you want to persecute him. You want him to lose his job. You want his family to lose the income, part of their father, because he gunned down a man who was committing a crime, running away, not obeying a police officer, pulling out his driver's license. You know what I'm saying. Come on now. That's some crazy mess, racist stuff. That's some, you know, if you're racist, you're going to say what you want to say. You're going to dictate the narrative, and it's going to be that way for the people who want to believe what you write, right? They say anything you say can and will be held against you. We are concerned with violence that is specific to the black community, thus black-on-black homicide. To continue, it is especially common with the aftermath of police shootings of black people, right? Response to the Raleigh cry that Black Lives Matter. In this context, the myth serves not only to discredit the cause for justice and shift blame to the black community, but also as its worst to justify police violence. You, like I just said, you are animals. You people, animals. You kill each other. You gun each other down. You gun down children. Right? To the call, the fallacy of black-on-black crime, anything, to call the fallacy of black-on-black crime anything other than anti-black racism is an injustice in itself, they say it, right? Okay, so from Provocative Thought, it is only a myth if it doesn't exist in reality, and black-on-black crime is as real as white-on-white crime. So the mistake is to think that law enforcement is not aware of white-on-white crime. It is no secret. Nothing can justify police violence but an unjust, criminal, unjustice system and a powerless population. Police have been violating black people since the slave patrols. That's the origin of the police department. I don't know if you guys know about that, but you can read about that, right? So from UCRFBI.gov said murder and non-negligent manslaughter in the U.S. 2019, right? Total, 7,964 homicides, right? For whites, it was 3,650. For blacks, it was 4,000. And 78, right? Blacks make up roughly 13% of the population and kill more blacks than whites who kill whites. Whites make up 60% roughly of the population. That is what is alarming about the black homicide rate. 13% of the population, and just for this year, kill more people that look like them, and that's not advocating killing white folks. You know what I'm saying? Your enemy is your enemy. And right now, we're just talking about black homicide. So just keep it, stay focused, y'all. If anybody going off the wayside. This number here, 4,078, that's a lot of folk. That's a, however you look at it, the white population almost triples the black population, but blacks have disproportionately murdered more blacks than whites have murdered whites at 428 or more black homicides than white homicides for that year, right? So if the number was even, it would still be disproportionate based on population size. That is a lot of homicide. Myth number two, guns make you safe. He said that's a myth. Well, gun lobby claims that having a gun would make you safer, used by militants and other gun groups to specifically target black, indigenous, and other people of color. Black people must be armed to protect themselves because they can't trust law enforcement and or because they must be ready to defend themselves against racially motivated violence. I don't know if y'all remember the Black Panthers. That's exactly what they did, right? And it did cut back on police violence until they did what you expect them to do. they targeted the Black Panther Party and went to war with them, right? And when all they really had to do was stop harassing the black community, instead of doing that, because they're racist and they have the power, they said, hey, these end people not going to tell us what to do because their lives are not valued, right? Which is why Huey P. Newton, Bobby Seale, Elvis Cleaver, right, and the other brothers took arms to protect the black community from the racist pigs in L.A., right, in Oakland and L.A., right? We had, what's his name, Grandmaster Jay, at present time doing that, who is presently incarcerated, right, for flashing his light up on the rooftop. But the light was on top of the gun, and he flashed the light up to see what's going on. They took that to be that he's pointing his gun up on top of the roofs. So I think he's doing 7 years for that, right? That's a not effing around coalition, right? Anyway, they said the truth is having a firearm actually increases the individual's risk of injury or death. Defensive gun use is rare when compared to with harmful gun use, right? It's more likely that a firearm be used in a suicide or an unintentional shooting, or that it will be stolen. It will be effective then it will be effectively used in self-defense, right? Well, I said cars are stolen frequently and automobile accidents kill many each year. We're going to stop driving cars? More than 46,000 people die in car crashes each year, according to the annual United States road crash statistics, right? Suicide is an interpersonal issue, a mental health issue. You can choose to kill yourself in a variety of ways. The real issue or root is what influenced the person to take his own life and their ability to or inability to cope with adversity. If more guns meant more safety, they said, the United States would be the safest place in the world, right? Well, more guns actually meant you have in the United States, because that's how they actually won the war here, with gunplay, all right? So guns trump arrows and spears and slingshots or whatever, right? So they suggest that we have violence interruption programs that engage people with lived experiences to mediate conflicts and mentor young people who are most likely to be victims of perpetrators of gun violence. These programs need data and sustained funding to continue and expand their reach. Basically, you need to prove through data that we're going to give you money. State going to give you money, federal government, whoever giving out money for that, right? So mediation is good. Mediation is even better. The fact that a person needs or can benefit from having a gun is indicative of how unsafe we are. Yes, there are situations where having a gun can save your life, the life of someone you love, deter assaults and robberies. Should we not provide an opportunity to defend ourselves because we have more volatile people using the firearm in an inappropriate manner than incidents where a firearm was used in self-defense? That is a weak argument for those who could have used the firearm to defend or save a life. On the other hand, a firearm in the hands of a socially emotional, immature, angry individual is a homicide waiting to happen. It is an issue. It is not an issue of firearms being used in more inappropriate manner than appropriate situation. That is what drives the sale of firearms, because you have more people using it in an inappropriate manner. So people are running to the gun shops to get to be armed because they have stopped carjackings, robberies, and things like that being armed, right? To quote, guns don't kill, people do. People make the guns that kill. We need to disinfect our spirits, our souls, and our minds before we can move forward to not murdering each other, or at least drastically reducing the desire to murder as a solution to conflict and reducing the event of internal and external violent conflict. Guns do not kill. They are tools that increase the lethality of an individual assault, right? Death is the ultimate result. If we think that firearms are the problem, we are not even touching the surface of what is really going on. And we are in for a very long, dreadful, traumatic tomorrow. The problem is not guns, knives, baseball bats, and brass knuckles. The problem is us. It has always been us. And with that, I'm going to wrap up tonight's show, y'all. I didn't see anybody wanted to chime in. Sorry, I was on a soapbox a little bit there, but couldn't help it. So I want to say, you know, everybody be safe out there. And, you know, if you choose to carry a weapon, make sure you know how to use it. And know when you should use it, and stay away from people, places, and things that might cause you to have to use a weapon. I know that's very hard, depending on where you live, like in the hood, right? I understand it, and whatever. Just try to stay away from situations that at least you know you might have to end up using a weapon. You know, just watch how you're moving, because people are watching you sometimes. Until next week, y'all. I want to thank Blog Talk Radio, We Talk Productions, all callers and listeners, downloaders. Remember, you can listen to the show anytime you want. Just go back to this, We Talk Productions, pull the show up. And until next week, y'all, hope that everyone safe from harm. After talking about all this homicide and murder and all that gunplay and everything, depending on where you live at, I know it's hard. I know it's dangerous, and may the Creator be with you. Till next week, peace out.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow.